bow your heads just for a minute. Lord, we do thank you and we bless you. Oh, we love you on today, Lord. We thank you for speaking to us during worship, speaking to our hearts, giving us clarity, giving us peace, giving us rest. During worship, you're letting us know it's going to be okay. Keep fighting a good fight. Keep holding on. Keep worshiping. Keep praying. Keep studying the word. Keep loving. Keep extending grace. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Even during worship, Lord, we love you for that. We bless you now, Lord, as we celebrate with a place for worship. What a place for worship. Because you're here, Lord, not because we're here, but because you are here. The one who deserves all the glory. We love you for it, Lord. Now we would ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that the word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, dead, and decaying world. Your word teaches us how to think, how to act, how to love, how to give, how to forgive. It teaches us everything.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. You made it plain for us.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Speak to our hearts now, Lord. Hallelujah. Open our ears, open our hearts to receive what you're saying to your body today, to your church today.
Yes. Yes.
Sunday, August 4th, 2019. Speak to your body. Mature us, Lord. No longer business as usual. And we love you and we bless you for it, Lord. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Did I say Mark chapter 9?
Yes.
Let's start at verse 14. 9 and 14, and the transfiguration has just happened. We have few characters in this passage. We have the young man, we have the father, we have the disciples, and then we have you and me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we pick it up at verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning them. So the disciples are trying to cast out a demon from evil spirit, a foul spirit, from a young man. So they're unsuccessful. It's a multitude. They're talking. They're actually kind of arguing, asking why they couldn't do it, why it couldn't happen. Then in verse 15, the superhero shows up. Amen. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him and greeted him. Make a note. That's how we should greet Christ every day. Being amazed, excited. Family, you should wake up amazed and excited every day. Why? Because Jesus has woke you up. Not the alarm clock, not the big truck, not the kids, but because Christ woke you up.
Yes.
It's called being thankful. It's called being grateful. Wake up every day and be grateful.
Yes.
And be thankful. And recognize how blessed we are. I love this. They ran to Christ. They didn't run from him. Amen. Despite what they were going through, despite having issues right there, they didn't run from him. They ran to him.
Yeah.
And he asked them. I mean, I was thinking, how many of you have a big brother? You have a big brother.
Yeah.
Remember how it was growing up back in the old days? Your big brother show up, you're always happy to see your big brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Anything going down, big brother show up, it's getting ready to get straightened out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I had three big brothers. Yeah, Joe and Lloyd and Lavelle. If I wanted to be cool, I'd talk to Lloyd. But if I needed something handled, it had to do with sports or fighting or something, I go talk to him. Hey, Lavelle, I need to talk to you real quick.
Yeah.
And so right here, Jesus shows up in verse 16 and said, what's going on?
Yeah.
One of the multitude answered him, which we know was the boy's father. He says, Master, call him Master. Amen, teacher. I brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him and foameth and gnasheth his teeth and pinneth him away. And I spoke unto your disciples, and they couldn't cast him out.
Right.
To cast him out, and they could not. Make a note, family. It's always spiritual warfare involving our kids. Amen? Always. How many of you have kids? How many of you ever seen a kid? Okay. Amen, amen. But we know that it's when the enemy can't get to you, and even when he can, he attacks the kids. And when we talk to our kids, we're not being overprotective. We're not tripping for our youth in here. It's just that based upon experience and wisdom of God, we just know just a few, not much, but we know a few things. So when we're talking to you young adults, when we're talking to you youth, it's not that we're being overprotective or tripping. We just know that it's a serious war out there, a spiritual warfare at the highest level. And you're the target. And if you can't get to mom and dad or mom, it's coming to the kid. Jesus said, he answered him and said, oh, faith is verse 19 generation. How long shall I be with you and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him here. Make a note, family. Don't even think about raising your kids without Christ. Don't even think about trying to discipline your kids without the power of the Holy Spirit. Extend grace, extend love. You got to have Christ. Shame on us. We've ever said, well, I'm not going to raise my kids like my mom and dad raised me. We're not going to be in church. I'm going to let them make decisions. I'm going to let them try and decide what they're going to be. Shame on us. If we ever fall into that foolishness. Spiritual warfare. The enemy ain't playing. He could care less. Doesn't matter what age, he does not discriminate, he does not care. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ has come that we might have life, and that more abundantly, amen? Amen. So here we are, Christ says, bring him unto me. Verse 20, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since he has been like this? And he said, since a child. Man, that's tough. Anybody knows if we have a kid with special needs or a disability and it's or just a kid that's out there. Make a note, you can't put God in a box and place time limits on it. When do you finally give up on your kid? Amen. Never. Said, how long has he been like since he was a child? So we figure he's a young man. So let's say for the purposes of this illustration, a young man, what, 18, 19, 20? Yeah. That's a long time. Make a note for those of you that take notes. My daughter Jael gives me a hard time because I at my church, I tell them to take notes because I have notes on my notes. Amen. God's always speaking. It's just, amen. Are we listening? Dad, you always say that. Yes, I tell them every Sunday, take notes, and I tell them I have notes on my notes. Because God's always speaking. But it's a long time. And then how long are you willing to wait for your breakthrough? How long are you? When do you give up and say it's just no hope, I'm done with them? So here we are. We're getting ready to just really get into the maturity part right now because it's getting ready to shift. In verse 22, it shifts. It goes from the son to the father. Mm-hmm. He says, and oftentimes it casts him into the fire and into the water to what? The enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not playing with our youth. Youth, we're not tripping. Yes, I'm going to talk to you about everything that I need to talk to you about. Whether you think dad is tripping or whether you think big brother or whatever, I have to talk to you. It's our obligation as parents. And men, it's our obligation to help raise the kids. It's not just for mom. We have to step up and teach as well. So he comes to destroy, and that In the Greek, the word destroy means to ruin. He's trying to ruin his kid. He's trying to render him useless, and it also means to kill. Isn't that something? He's trying to render our kids useless and ineffective for the kingdom of God. Amen. We're studying this morning, and we're in the light of the world. We're doing the five I am statements, and Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, but in Matthew 5:16, he told us that we're the light of the world. We're the light of the world as well. So on your resume, it says light of the world. Regardless of what you're struggling with, regardless of what you're going through, your resume says you're salt and you're light and you're love. In the midst of your struggles, deal with it, but don't forget who you are. And our kids, our youth, you guys are salt, light, and love as well. And the enemy's out to ruin you and render you useless and ineffective and kill you if he can. And we have to step in and say, no, not so in the name of Jesus. It's a tough seat to sit in to be a parent. To be the man or the woman of God that God's called you to be, but that's the seat that we have to sit in. And we look at the world today, just over this past weekend. And the enemy's not playing. We can't, family, we have to do what we're called to do. The word says, if my people, that's what God says, right? I'm going to show you how your Christian walk now, your Christian maturity comes down to two letters, I and F. Look at verse 22. These two letters will determine where you go in life. Oftentimes it casts them into the fire, into the water to destroy him, but if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I love this dad right here. It shows he has some type of humility. He knows that he can't do it without God. And right, underline that. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I added that as I was studying, getting ready for this. I added that to my morning prayer. God, have compassion on me and my family and help us. Amen. Because the enemy doesn't care about a title. If you're dealing with it, you know I'm dealing with it. I'm praying this morning for coming here in my church. God, have compassion on us and help us. This world, everything that's going on, God, Jesus, we're not going to make it. Have compassion on us and help us. Add that to your list. You don't need to get into no doctoral thesis and all that. God, have compassion on us and help us. Yes. And that's it. Yes. Trying to get all deep with the moon, God of the moon and the stars. No, I mean, I don't have time for that. Not today, I don't. Not in 29. No, God, have compassion. Mercy, your bowels of kindness, your favor, your grace on my family, on my wife, my kids. Lord, in the name of Jesus, and help us. I love God for his word. Because look at verse 23. This is when Jesus kind of, he was probably a little comfortable right here. When he said that to Jesus, I think Jesus kind of straightened up and said, wait, hold up. He said, man, wait a minute, hold up. The if isn't on me. Two letters, IF. He said in verse 22, he said, if you can do anything. Whoa, Jesus, hold up, partner. The if is not on me, and Jesus tells him, man, if you can, it's not on Jesus, it's on us. He tried to throw him a no look behind the back, like, if you can do anything, Jesus threw a direct pass, if you, it ain't on me. It's the hot potato, the if is not mine, it's yours. Don't try and put this on me. Jesus said, you waiting on me, I'm waiting on you. I've already done my part, it is finished. Jesus, don't try and put that if on me. If you can trust, that's what the belief is. Jesus saying, if you can trust. Oh, here we go now. Here comes the maturity right here. If you can trust me, all things are possible. Not some things, but all. To him that trust me. Straightway the Father, I love this. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out. Man, when was the last time you cried out on behalf of your kids? When was the last time you cried out on behalf of your wife and your marriage? Cried out to Jesus, just cried out. And I'm telling you, I'm going to show you how we need to do this each and every morning.
Yes.
See, that's a mature place to be.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to move from point A to point B, if you're not practicing this daily, then you're not ready to be mature.
Right.
You're not ready. Father, the child cried out and said with tears. Oh, I love it. Not only did he cry out, but he actually cried.
Yes.
Men, I'm telling you, we need to be on our face daily before God crying out.
Yeah.
Look at our world today. The enemy is wreaking havoc.
Yes.
And we're too prideful to humble ourselves and cry out and say, God, have compassion on us and help us. Look how real this is. So it gets real. It gets transparent. He said with tears, Lord, I believe. Lord, I'm trusting you. But help me with my unbelief. So my question would be, what areas are you don't believe that God can move in? What areas are you having trouble? What areas you haven't surrendered to God? And you're expecting change. You got to surrender. What is insanity doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? Some areas we got to just give up to God. And see, I have this thing where God showed me we have this whole kind of crazy, schizophrenic, bipolar relationship with God. And I try and make it as plain as I can. So let me make it as plain as I can. So in worship, we raise our hand and we tell God that we love him. Lord, I love you. Lift my hands. I worship you. And then offering comes and we say, God, I don't trust you. Because I'm not going to give a tithe because I got, Lord, you don't understand what's really going on right now. You don't know how tight things are. See, and it's not about the money because the money's the tool, not the assignment. You being the light of the world is the assignment. You trusting God and being mature is the assignment. Lights on and love is the assignment.
Right.
Money's just a tool to help things accomplish, but it's not the assignment. We got it mixed up. We think money's the assignment. That's why I don't love you, but I can't trust you to give.
Right.
And I was at the worship center for 17 years. We never played tricks or gimmicks or games. We never do, never will.
Right.
Same thing at South Bay. That's the last thing I would do is try and manipulate you out of your mind. That's between you and God. I'll go broke. I'll close the doors before I manipulate God's people. But I'm telling you, it's a problem if you say you love God and you don't trust him.
Right.
Right.
So let me make it plainer. Let me see your hand if you're married. Let me see your hand if you're engaged. Any engaged folks in here? Oh, that's cool. Engaged and married. I love it. Yeah. See, well, let's make it plainer. Tonight, when you get a quiet moment, I want you to reflect. And I want you to talk to your spouse and say, honey, I got to be honest. I love you, but I don't trust you. And Bishop has my number. Bishop, have him call me next week and let me know how that went. Okay?
All right.
But we do it to God each and every week.
Yes.
And that's not mature.
Right.
So at South Bay, we say, Lord, we love you and help us to trust you. Because we got to tighten our game. If we're going to be mature, we got to tighten our game up. Three areas that we do not trust God in. No particular order. Number one is relationships. Amen. I just got Bishop saying amen because he's a bishop, I know. Says, because we'll date anything. Saved, half saved. I don't even know what that is, but I just wrote half saved. What does that mean? Not say we'll date anything. Let me stick to my notes. Y'all trying to get me off? And then we cry out to God and try and figure out why it didn't work out. And then with our kids, we'll play Holy Spirit as opposed to praying to the Holy Spirit. And asking God to help us and give us wisdom on behalf of our kids, relationship kids, and then I already said our money. We'll love God, but we won't pay our tithes and offering to advance his kingdom. Remember, make a note, money's a tool, not the assignment. Here's the revelation. God gives me revelations as I'm studying, I'm asking him. To live a mature Christian life, there must be a complete surrendering of all aspects of your life.
Amen.
Let me say it again. To live a mature Christian life, you have to surrender all aspects of your life to Christ. Every public aspect of it and every secret thing. Verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, underline that place for worship, running together, being on one accord.
Yeah.
The people, look what happened when the people came running together. He rebuked that foul spirit because the people came together. So here's a revelation with that. Unity exposes the foul. Unity exposes and rebukes the foul spirits.
Yes.
Married couples, when you are on the same page, the foul spirits will be exposed.
Yes.
But here's the flip side of that. As long as you are not on the same page, the enemy will run circles around you in your own house.
Yes.
Church family, when you are on one accord with God and the leadership of your church, the foul spirits are exposed.
Yes.
Unity exposes foul spirits.
Amen.
Jesus said, get your butt out and don't come back. Amen. Verse 25 again. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more. Verse 26, and the spirit cried and tore him and came out of him and looked like he was dead. It might look like it's going to get... It might look worse before it gets better. Somebody say amen. And it might look like, hey, this thing is dead and it's gone.
Yeah.
Where people say, no, that marriage is dead. That kid, it ain't no hope for that kid. That's it. It's just saying, ain't nothing can save them. Somebody say, but God. We know that those foul spirits don't want to leave. And you might think you're going to die. Amen, Bishop. You might think you're going to die dealing with some of those foul spirits. Amen.
Right. Yeah.
I wrote something here for my singles, though. It says, singles, if you haven't already, please don't attach yourself to a foul spirit.
Amen.
Let me say it again. I'm telling you, because those things don't want to leave. You get connected to something, you don't. If you haven't, singles, don't. If you have, get rid of that thing.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Stay solid and sanctified in your singleness. Somebody say amen. Stay connected to Christ in your singleness.
Amen.
Don't let the enemy lie to you and make you think something is wrong with you because you are single. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, you are a special treasure. Don't let the enemy or anyone else treat you like trash.
Yes.
Amen.
Wait, be patient, allow God to connect you to the right person. Ask any married couple who wants to be completely honest. Couples say amen.
Amen.
And transparent and real. And we will tell you that it is not easy. Can I get an amen?
Amen,
amen. Amen. But here's a revelation, singles. Listen to what God was sharing with me, Zion. And I write it down, and I try and give it to you just like God gave it to me. Here's a revelation with all this. If you haven't worked on yourself as a single, you're not ready or prepared to put in the work that it takes to be married or stay married. Oh, I'll say it again. If you haven't worked on yourself as a single, you are not ready or prepared to put in the work that it takes to be married or to stay married. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And that's a disservice to anyone that you will date or eventually marry. Come on, family. Don't let the enemy play with you and make you think you have to settle for a foul spirit. You don't have to. You just have to wait on God. All right, I'm closing this thing up, Bishop. Just got a few more things to say, then I'm going to close it up and tie it up for us. Another one says, allow Christ to bring back to life those things that appear to be dead. Get out of your own way and trust God with the details.
Yes.
Let me say it again. Allow Christ to bring back to life those things that appear to be dead. Get out of your own way and trust God with details. Verse 27. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. He arose. Let the Lord guide you. Stay locked hand in hand with Jesus. I love verse 28. It's very mature. When he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him, underline privately. Family, we got to have our private time with Jesus.
Amen.
Has to be intentional. It can't be in the car. It's okay to be in the car, but that can't be the first time that you're talking to Jesus that morning. It has to be much more intentional than that. You have to have your private time. You got to get away from the noise. You got to get away from the crowd. You got to get away from the kids. And you have to have your private time with Jesus. During the private time, Jesus gives revelation. The enemy's job is to keep you so distracted that you never have private time with Christ. You never get revelation on that marriage, on that new person who you just got introduced to. Now, remember, people come into your life for two reasons. To take you closer to Christ or to push you further away.
Yes.
That's it. And you're not spending time with God and you all jacked up. You didn't get the revelation. No, this is something you don't need to attach yourself to. But you're so distracted and your eyes are so big and he looks good and she looks good and she working and she makes this amount and all that and you all jacked up. Because you're distracted and there's no private time. And it's a foul spirit in disguise. Remember, the wheat and the tare, they grow up, they look just alike. You can't tell the difference. God said, let them grow together. If they're not spending time with me, they're going to get attached to something that they shouldn't even be attached to. Let them, no. Let them grow together. Private time gives you the discernment that you need. So you can recognize what's God and what's not. Verse 28, when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him, I love that. I love having my private time with Jesus. Are you kidding me, family? We get to have private time with the one who created the universe.
Hey, wow. Hey.
And you don't have time for that, and you say that you love him, and you get every day we have an opportunity, every minute, to have private time with the one who created all this. With the wisdom of God that said, before he did anything, I was right there. When he did, I was right there. Seek me like buried treasure. Anything that you can get cannot be compared to me. That's what wisdom is saying. And we have the opportunity to get that wisdom and we don't have time for it. God, help us to be mature Christians. Give his disciples credit for having private time and said, man, remember this whole thing started, this whole argument started because here's the question. Why couldn't we get rid of this thing? And he said unto them, this kind, that kind in the Greek means kindred, this type of stuff you're dealing with can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The kind you're dealing with now, you just can't pray about it. You can't just hop in the car, start driving. Oh, yeah. Lord. No. We have to be much more mature and much more intentional than that. So this is what I've been teaching my church for, I don't know, the last 4 years since God's given me the revelation on it. And I have older members in my church who say, Pastor, I can't fast because I am on medication. So, well, time out. Let's call a time out. Let's huddle up. Let's get another strategy. So you all know that the first meal of the day is breakfast, right? The two words, break your fast. So from the time that you go to bed into the time you wake up, you're fasting. So what I've been teaching my congregation, that before you eat that first meal, get up and give God 5 or 10 minutes. And on the authority of Scripture, call on praying and fasting. So we don't do like a 21-day fast. We do a 365-day fast. Amen. We're doing it every morning. Because I still like Roscoe's, okay, Pastor? Roscoe's the other day in Long Beach. Somebody say amen. Hey, so I'm not going to try and make my congregation do something I can't do, right? Y'all need to be fasting while I'm at Roscoe's. Right? What you doing at Roscoe's? Well, I was ministering to, you know. Yeah, to my chicken, the number 9. But look, family, any of you haven't eaten yet? Anybody, let me see your hand, you haven't eaten yet. And if you haven't, on the authority of Scripture, been praying and fasting, because this kind, see, we miss an opportunity. The enemy doesn't want this to be exposed. I'm telling you, we miss an opportunity. That kind, that stuff you've been doing, you could have been praying and fasting. And I'm just saying 5 minutes. One of my ministers said, Pastor, you know you're cold with that because you can't do that for 5 minutes, but you can start. Yeah. He said, I was down there for 30 minutes. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah, but it's just like going to the gym. I was going to use Tito, but Tito Omar jacked up, so I ain't gonna, but Tito and I, we used to play ball together. Tito and I, we met on the basketball court. Probably 30 years ago. Amen. When I had hair and Tito's arm wasn't jacked up. Amen. But Tito, no, when we were balling, man, you don't come out there, you're not just going to come out there and play with us. You better be ready. So, but you can come get in shape and get to that point. So I'm saying just 5 minutes, just 2 minutes. Okay. Lord, I want to thank you for waking me up this morning. And Lord, I want to thank you for watching over me last night. Lord, in the authority of Scripture, and you said some kind, this kind can only come out but by praying and fasting. So Lord, right now, before I have my first meal of the day, I want to pray for my wife. Cover my wife, Lord. Give her favor. She's going to the job and she's handling business and she's out, Lord. Pray. I'm praying, cover and protect her. I want to lift up my daughter, Jamaica, Lord, in the name of Jesus. She's navigating daily on her job, Lord. Draw her close to remind her how much you love her. Lord, I want to pray for my son, Jalen. Cover him out in New Orleans, Lord, with everything that's going on in the world today. Remind him of who he is in you, Lord. Send laborers into his life, Lord. On the authority of your Scriptures, I'm praying and fasting. I'm praying for JL, Lord, as she's headed to college, Lord. Cover her, keep her, Lord, daily in the name of Jesus. Have her watch out for predators. Protect her, Lord, from anything that would want to cause her harm. I'm praying for my church family, Lord. In the name of Jesus, cover my members, Lord. Remind them of who they are. Let them be light. Let them be salt. Let them be love, Lord. Let us stay on the same page in unity, Lord. Let us always come running together to you and rebuking any foul spirit that would take away from what we're trying to do for the kingdom of God. Praying for this crazy world, Lord. I'm praying and fasting right now, God. before I have my first meal. God, we need help. Have compassion on us, Lord, and help us.
Yes.
Praying for the couples in my church, the singles, the youth. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we need help today. Give me favor as I go out. Cover me, protect me. Give me your wisdom in each and every situation, at the gym, on the job, wherever I go, Lord. Give me wisdom. Let me see the danger and the evil coming and let me go the other way, as your word says. Help me to trust in you with all my heart and not lean to my own understanding. Let me acknowledge you in all my ways, Lord, and you may direct my path. You said this kind, Lord, only comes up but by praying and fasting. So on the authority of your scripture, Mark 9:29, I stand on your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
That's 3 minutes. And you telling me you don't have time for the God of universe to do that daily? To call on the authority of praying and fasting, standing on this. Because this kind, I'm telling you, the kind you're dealing with right now, you playing with it, but it's not playing with you. You playing with it, but it's not playing with you. We don't do a 21-day fast. We do a 365-day fast. Watch God change your life. It will revolutionize your life. Oh, let me finish with this. Now, let's get really mature. Are you ready for a 365-day fast to tear down some strongholds and trust God to perform some major breakthroughs in your life? If you are not praying and fasting daily concerning everything, then you can't complain about anything. If you're not praying and fasting daily concerning everything, then you can't complain about anything. My couples know, they're not going to come to me, well, Pastor, I want to talk to you about, okay, first question. Have you been praying and fasting for them daily? Well, you know, I would stop right there. See you later. Are you serious? You're not serious about it. You don't want change. You want to complain. I don't have time for it. Right. The youth, I want to, Pastor, you know my parents are tripping. Have you been praying for them, praying and fasting for them daily? Well, no, Pastor, stop. Pastor, I want to talk to you about my son. Let me ask you one question. You've been praying and fasting for them daily? Well, you know I really didn't have the time. Stop. Don't, come on, don't waste my time. This is the power that we have that we don't tap into. I'm here to teach you. Because, you know, we're not going to be there, but God's there every morning. So they can't complain to me if they're not, if you're not praying and fasting, because you know what it does? When I'm praying and fasting for Tracy, God shows me me. He's like, dude, you know what you trip? Oh, okay, okay, all right, okay, Lord, okay. And I just back up. Ain't even nothing to complain about, I'm telling you. When I want to complain about my kids, Lord, you know I wanted to bless them, but they was doing this and that, and I can't even bless them and say, you know what, now go in the mirror and tell yourself that. Because I wanted to bless you, but you doing this, that, and the other, and I can't bless you right now either. I was trying to find something, and when I'm praying, I'm trying to find something to complain about, but I can't find it. All right, I'm closing out. This is my third closing, Pastor? You have to, as a mature Christian, trust God with 100% of your life.
Amen. That's right.
Pray, fast, and trust God with the details.
Yeah.
This is how we ended. Happy 4-year anniversary. I got P4W, place for worship. Here's the charge. Go forth with praying and fasting and trusting God daily. It can't be business as usual anymore, not with this kind. Bow your heads. So, Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we bless you. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to turn over everything. Help us to get our hands off the steering wheel and turn it over to you.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
But we do love you, Lord, and help us with our unbelief. Help us with the areas that we just won't turn over. Let us mature, God, to surrender everything to you and watch you work. Until we try, until we give you 100%, until we're praying and fasting daily, we will never know what you could have done. Because this kind only comes out but by praying and fasting. This opportunity, this door, this one opens, that one closes, only but by praying and fasting. So we thank you for your word this morning. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. The ones that we know about or don't know about, the ones we tried to pretend didn't happen, the ones we tried to cover up, Lord. We confess and forsake and we come clean. God, have compassion on us. Forgive us for our laziness, for being distracted, for not making you a priority, for putting everything first before you and then trying to hop in the car and ask you for directions. Forgive us, Lord. Have compassion. Help us. Allow your Holy Spirit to teach us, to remind us all the things that you said unto us, to let not our hearts be troubled and neither be afraid.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
But trust you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we thank you, Lord, that you paused this moment in time to speak to us through your word. To give us direction, Lord, not only for the next year, but for life. I can't think of a time where I don't want to spend time with you. But I don't want to pray and fast in the morning and ask you for direction. Thank you for all that you're doing here at A Place for Worship. God, what a beautiful spirit that's in this place. Group of godly people, Lord, maturing as Christians. Making a difference for the kingdom of God. Bless Pastor. Bless Lady Laura. Bless the entire congregation. On the authority of Scripture, I bless them in the name of Jesus. Give them strength. Give them all strength for the road ahead to endure. Give them strength to work while it's day. Because when the night comes, it's too late. That right where they are right now is the work that needs to be done. Give them wisdom. Give them favor. Have compassion on them, Lord, and help them. And God, we promise to give you the glory. And we bless you, Lord, because you've blessed us so much. We pause, we bless you, and we say thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for another chance to live this thing the right way. We bless you now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Bishop.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
Love you, Bishop. Thank you.
Thank God for Pastor Jerome Carter and giving us a word that we can build from. Build from is what he gave us, not just a blessing, but a word we can build from. And I thank God that through the entire text and the word that he shared, that as the disciples weren't able to do what Jesus did, it's something because they were supposed to be able to do what Jesus had to do, meaning that they were weapons in God's hand.
Amen.
They were weapons. And when I saw that, I look at us and we're God's weapons. We are his weapons. And there are assignments that we are supposed to do in our journey with God on a daily basis.